Welcome to the Ladies of Liverpool podcast.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
Ladies of Liverpool.
With Leanne Campbell.
Welcome back, everyone. Ladies of Liverpool, it's me, Leanne Campbell. This is probably one of the most special episodes I think I've ever done. It's no one famous. It's not a celebrity. It's no gossip, no jangle. It's my mate. It's Suzanne, known as Flossie. So she's been going through cancer treatment for the last 2 years. A very unexpected cancer diagnosis came her way. It's probably the most real chat around cancer that you're ever going to hear on a podcast. She doesn't hold back. We talk about the real lows and the big highs and how she's got through it all. We're going to learn how you need to question your GP. You need to listen to your body. And no matter what any medical professional tells you, you've always got a choice and you can always say your piece. Now, Suzanne at the moment is struggling with a voice, so she's pushing through that barrier to speak to you today. Listen to the whole thing. Share your messages of support on all social platforms and enjoy this very real conversation about cancer.
Ladies of Liverpool.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
We've talked about doing this for a long time, haven't we? I don't know why we thought we'd be able to speak and make it just 20 minutes an episode. So this chat's probably going to take us 2 hours, but what everyone's going to listen to is probably 15, 20 minutes of a chat. Let's see how it goes. So Suzanne, I've given you a nice introduction. Everyone knows who you are. We're going to call you Floss a couple of times through this because, of course, that's what we all call you, Flossie. But we've been mates since we were babies. 2 years ago, you were diagnosed with shitty cancer.
I certainly was.
Over the last 2 years, let's talk about your journey then. I want to start, Suzanne, by just painting the picture for people who are thinking, you know, cancer, there's so many things you can do, which is right, you know, to stop you getting it. But you are the most healthy, fit, active friend I've got in my circle. And of all the people to be diagnosed with cancer, you were the last I would have thought would have ever been told that you had this horror of a disease. So talk everyone through your journey. How did it all begin, babe?
Well, it all initially started with back pain, which sounds dead random because you just think, oh, I've pulled my back or something. It's like a pinching more than anything, but it was keeping me awake at night. But as well, I'd had like a positive pregnancy test as well. So I'd noticed there was, you know, a change in across my breast anyway. But then when I was looking at it, I thought that doesn't seem right, if you know what I mean. And like the nipple inverted, felt like it was rock hard at one point. And then compared to the other one, I was like, that's not right. So I went to the doctors and they said it was muscular. I had a muscular problem. So you do take what you say as, you know, they know what they're talking about. Yeah. But as I say, it was keeping me awake at night. I had a little car, trying to get into the car to bend, you know, I had to bend down to get into the car. Couldn't do that either.
Do you know what, Suzanne? I think for anyone now listening to this going, okay, I've got a back pain. Oh, do you know what I'm like? I'm the worst in the world for diagnosing myself with things. Oh, I've got this back pain. Okay, so you were a prime example of someone who was really rational. You were like, there's a million and one things this could be. So when the GP tells you it's fine, it's muscular, you go, brilliant. Okay, I've thought the worst case scenario. You're telling me it's not that, so that's great. So you move on with your life. You broke your leg, didn't you? Looking back on it now, remember we were on holiday and you were like with the painkillers and your back was in and we were all constantly saying, oh, it's the crutch, it's because you're using the crutch. You find reasons, don't you, to explain the pain.
It was my tibia that I broke, wasn't it? So I had a lovely time in plaster and braces the year before I was diagnosed. So I've had a lovely, you know, a lovely couple of years, obviously. But then what happened was they said, go back in 2 weeks. You know, if my pain hadn't changed. Yeah. So when I rang after the 2 weeks, I could only get an appointment for like the third week. And I was like, I can't wait another week to like be seen with this back pain. So I rang and I got and like, you know, an emergency appointment. And he said, I think your muscle's in, it's in spasm. So again, you take what they say. But then I mentioned about the positive pregnancy test I'd had and stuff. He said, I'm referring you. He said, I don't like the look. You know, I showed, obviously, I showed him my breast as well. And he was like, okay. Although the nipple was in. Sorry, I know it's a bit graphic, like, but.
No, it's what we want, what this podcast's about. We want to know the real thing. We can Google breast cancer symptoms, you know, and it'll give you a list of generic things. To hear from someone who can actually tell you, this is priceless, babe, for so many girls listening. So you be as graphic as you like.
So there was like underneath was like red. Obviously, you've saw pictures because you know what I'm like. I like share these
things. I've had a good old feel, haven't I? I've felt this lump and bump at all different stages. And that, again, that's important. So go on. So your nipple inverted. You had this lumpy texture, would you say?
Yeah, it was like lumpy and then it was a bit like red and like a bit mold as well, if you know what I mean. So obviously when you Google, like you go to Google, don't you? Because you just, that's what you do. And when it was back pain, like I laugh now when I look at it, but like when you scroll down and then it says, could it be cancer? And in my head, I was like, oh, as if back pain's going to be cancer. But then it turned out that it was obviously not in that way. But so in the interim period, I went to the women's and they actually said that there was nothing there on the scan. So also you're dealing with, I've got this back pain. Also, I thought I was having a baby and now there's nothing there.
And again, that explains the hormones because you think, okay, miscarriage, that's going to take its toll on my body. My hormones are everywhere. My boobs are lumpy. That explains everything. But sadly, that wasn't the cause, was it?
Definitely wasn't. No. So that doctor, he said, I'm going to refer you over. So you have that initial panic, but I was thinking, well, at least I'll get checked out and, you know, you're still trying to look for the positives.
Yeah, so, and hundreds of girls in Liverpool will go and have the boobs checked and they'll go to the Linda McCartney Centre and they'll have the scan and they'll have the biopsies and they'll go through that little journey and, you know, you hope the majority of those women will get good news. So in the back of your mind, Suzanne, because I know with us, I know exactly where it was the minute you found out and that afternoon when you went for those tests. And I was just waiting for that text for you to go, yeah, it's nothing. And the text never came.
Ladies of Liverpool.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
When you sat there, Suzanne, and you've got the specialist in front of you, how did he tell you your diagnosis?
So the 3rd of May was when I went for the check on my boob, effectively. So it was a mammogram, an ultrasound, a biopsy. And then obviously at that point, you could have somebody with you, not with you, like for the actual, while you're getting your scans and stuff. But my partner could be outside. So they said, take a seat there. And I said, yeah. And they went, is anybody with you? And I said, yeah, he's out there. And she said, do you want me to go and get him? And I went, no, I'll go and get him. She went, I just want to have a word with you. And you know, when you go, well, that's not, that doesn't too good. So I went out and got John and I said, come on, do you want to talk to us? And he went, what about? And I went, I don't know. And as we walked in the room, I'll always remember there was a box of tissues on the table. And I went, that's not a good sign. Because at that point, they said it could be an underdeveloped milk duct. It could be a cyst. So initially that was all still in my head. And then they said, we don't know what it is, but we are concerned. So that's what I was left with. Yeah. So it was, come back next week and we'll give you the results.
You must have gone through that week, because I remember you be going, right, well, when do they see you tomorrow? Even I was saying to you, can we go private? Is there any way we can race through this? Every day felt like a year. So for you, because that was for the rest of us, for you, what, was everything just racing through your head, like worst case scenario, or was it racing through your head that maybe it's something totally different than what you were thinking would be the worst?
I wouldn't say 50-50 of each. I'd probably say you've got like 75 that it's not going to be good and 25 that it's not as bad as initially you thought. So they said, come back next Friday. The next Friday, we had a plan to go away for his birthday. Mm-hmm. So he was like, cancel it. And I was like, no, I'm not cancelling it. We're going. So I said, no matter what they say, I'm going. So that was that. Obviously, I didn't know what they were going to say when I got there. Yes. So that one was initially to tell me I had breast cancer. So that was, you just sort of go, eh?
And was you 38 then, Suzanne?
38. Yeah, 38 I was, yeah. And like they said, you know, you've got breast cancer. And I remember John hugged me. The thought that comes in your head, am I going to die and am I going to lose my hair? I got a little tap as if to go, what are you saying that for? But that's what come to the front of my head. And yeah, I was like,
that's the first question you need to ask, yeah.
So because I still had the back pain at this point as well. So they said they had to do more tests. So I had, over the next 2 weeks, I had another process stuff and things. But I had bone biopsies and I had something else. I can't remember what that is now.
Yeah, an MRI or something at that point. And you did that diet where they give you the dye. I remember you having that one. And again, it was like two weeks. And you must have been harassed because I know I was texting you every 5 minutes and along with all your other mates and your family, you know, you've got people going, have you heard anything? And you must have just wanted to go and hide somewhere until they finally gave you some news.
In the time, like, laughter really, really helps. It does. It gets you through. Like, I went for the bone biopsy and you know what my dad's like, full-on joker. On the 24th of May, we went back. So in this interim period, they had said that I'd be referred to get my embryos removed, you know, so that will be an option in the future. Yeah. So when we went on the 24th, John had gone on a stag do to Benidorm and he did say, if you don't want me to go, I won't go. And I was like, well, the news is not going to be any different if you're by my side or you're away. So you go
are
and
a
enjoy.
Nuisance like that, Suzanne. You are a nuisance like that. He's like, I can do it. I can handle it. You know, or even that there, the embryo thing. For a lot of women now, you go, they're going to be listening and going, God, this girl's been told she's had breast cancer. They're waiting to see now if you're going to say you've got it in other places and you've got no children yet. They're going to freeze your embryos. Everything, you're tittering on the edge of all this different news that's coming your way. And you're like, no, go on the stag do. Go. Because it's going to be the same news whether you're here or you're not.
So they'd put into place that I was going, I think, on the 29th of May to talk about that at the women's. So I was made up that was in place. Yeah. So on the 24th, when I went back, and obviously they had all the things of the scans, and they said, it's metastatic. I think that's how they say it. So it's metastatic breast cancer, which means it's already spread to other areas. So basically what they said on that day was, it was in my skull, my spine, my pelvis, my liver, my lungs, lymph nodes, and obviously my breast. So you just sit there like that, huh?
Yeah.
And I felt at that point, I felt like I was watching somebody else going, oh God, isn't this fucking awful? Sorry, I've swore.
It's okay.
It's just one of those, I was like, God, this is awful. You know, like an out-of-body experience. I know that probably sounds mad. And I was just thinking, can anyone else, like, can she deal with another blow? And then they said, like, with going about the embryo stuff, we've got to start you on your treatment straight away.
Ladies of Liverpool.
I remember the conversation, the first face-to-face conversation we had after all of this, because, of course, you got rushed then because of your spine, to have the concrete stuff put in your spine to keep your spine from crumbling, and it all went pretty fast forward from that point. Yeah. And I remember saying to you, what's the worst bit? What can I say to you? What can we talk about that's the worst bit? And you said that they won't freeze me eggs. It's that I'll never have kids. And I was like, no, that can't be the worst. Let's talk about how we treat the cancer. And then you're like, no, that's the worst bit for me.
I think that's because it was something I'd always wanted. I mean, I'll never say never.
No.
I'm not one of them that just goes no. I know it's highly unlikely, but you've still got that little glimmer that it will happen. So obviously, I have to start on the treatment straight away, which means I have to have an injection to tear my ovaries off effectively because mine's hormone related, with the needle is massive. I've never actually looked at it, but I've saw the reaction of both John and my dad.
Oh,
so that was enough for me. So I've said I never ever want to see it. So that was fine. So I'm positive about the next week. You know, you're just trying to process everything in your head. And they said, we still need to look at your bone scans. Somebody else needs to look at that. And I was like, okay. So the next Friday, I'm pottering round, ready to go to the shops. And my phone goes, and it was the spinal specialist. And he said, your your bones are crumbling in your back. And that's what the pain in my back actually was. So he said, we need to get you in as soon as possible. So I was in by the following Tuesday to have this, I think it's called vertoplasty. So basically I've had spinal cement put in because my bones were crumbling. And my back.
Remember you phrased it, you said, he said to me, when the cancer gets in your bones, it can turn it into like Swiss cheese.
Yeah.
Remember you explained it to me like it's like cheese, crumbling cheese.
Nice. In your back,
I know.
Though,
that stuck with me that forever, you know. I was like, what? Get it in the hospital now. Fix it now before it crumbles like cheese.
The biggest thing for me then was I couldn't take myself to the toilet. Oh, I hate the toilet anyway, but I had to call someone to like put me in the chair and all that. And I was just like, oh, no.
Oh, and as a glamorous 38-year-old, that's just, it's those little grim moments that people don't talk about. And they really should, you know, for anyone else going through this, that you're not the first person to be sat on a mobile toilet, you know, and you won't be the last. Doesn't make it any easier, but it's part of your recovery.
Ladies of Liverpool. Everything Liverpool. Everything for ladies.
You know, you're sat having chemo now, like you've done the IV chemo, you've sat through that.
Yeah.
You had a good year's worth of that, didn't you?
17 months I had that one.
Talk me through some of the stories, you know, the girls that you meet when you sat around, because you said you didn't even realise there were so many different types of treatments. What different types of cancer or stories have you heard and watched the journey of while you've been sat there?
You realise that men can get it too. That's mad to see that, and it's mad to see all the different ages, you know, and you see people who've been going for years. And that helps you as well. Like when I first went, because obviously you're just nervous because you don't know anything. So initially I was on tablet form. That's what they said initially. So from the June of 2019, I was on tablet form and I tried to do my life as I would normally, as much as I can. So we went on holiday, obviously not without its issues and stuff, but I needed to go on holiday. Because that definitely helps. I know I've just gone off track. I will get back.
No, that's dead important because, you know, to say that life doesn't stop, you know, you didn't tackle it in the sense of, right, I'm going to just focus on this and this alone. And as frustrating as that is for some of us watching sometimes, because we're like, Suzanne, be careful. I remember you're going to Turkey and stuff. And I'm like, oh no, the flight, how long's the travel from the airport? Because you were bad at the time. You had a wheelchair in the airport. I'm like, she can't do that journey. But she did do that journey. And you looked a million times better when you came back. You knew. And that's the thing. You've got to trust people. They know their body. They know what they can do.
And that's what I say with when you've got any type of pain, don't, obviously you will Google it. But make the appointment because it's your body and you know your body better than anybody else. I chose to tackle it as not as a life sentence, as not that I was suffering from cancer. I was living with cancer. I'm not suffering. Well, not as much as was the other couple of weeks, as we'll get to in a bit. Going for chemo during a pandemic isn't the best when you've gone from sin with somebody. So having somebody with you for company, because I had the, they call it the cool cap. Not cool, it's ice cold. To try and keep the hair so it freezes the hair follicles.
And it did work, didn't it?
Yeah. One of my best mates is a hairdresser. Shout out to Jodie, who does my hair.
Big up to Jodie.
When the had get a little straggly bit, she cut it off. So it lost length, but that was because I was doing that myself, if you know what I mean, because it did go a bit thinner. But I've kept the majority of it. But the thing with that, I see a lot of, like, I follow a forum on Facebook and you see people saying they tried it and they couldn't hack it and they only try it once. I knew that I'd persevere with it.
Stubborn little bitch, though. There's no way you were never going to have that cool cap. There's no way you were going to be defeated by a bit of cold.
Yeah, well, that's it. But, I mean, even though I'm going through what I'm going through, I know that there's people who are worse off than me, and that helps me get through. Sounds mad, but I just think, you know, I'm waking up every day. I've got a roof over my head. You know, I've got a job. Some people haven't got that. I'm looking at it like that. So in the October, I had scans, and they said we're going to have to change your treatment. So when it goes in, so he says, got to change your treatment. You'll have to go on the IV chemo. And I went, no. He went, what do you mean no? And I went, I don't want to. I don't want that. And he said, well, it's not a case of wanting it. I said, no. I said, but I'm just making my wishes clear. That's not where I want to go with it. I was happy with the tablet.
Was that purely because of the hair loss and stuff, Suzanne?
I think so, yeah. I think it
just
was that initially.
Just more real.
Yeah. Whereas the tablets, you were just taking a tablet and no one would really know. So that was October. And then I started my first one with the cap was on the 31st of October.
Ladies of Liverpool.
So we know you've gone through the chemo, the IV drip chemo, and we know you did a year of that before you started on the treatment you're on currently, but it's not just what you've been provided from the hospital that you've, you know, you feel has made a difference to your journey. No. What other things have you done? Because the list, I think, is endless.
I started on the ice cubes and the tea under it, under Revival 7 now, isn't it? And they have been a godsend.
Yeah.
Because I think they've only been like 1 week I had to defer. Then that's it, because my bloods were low.
And they've got like turmeric and all that kind of stuff in. But you were taking turmeric and apricot seeds and all sorts of stuff, wasn't you?
Kernels, yeah. Apricot kernels. I have a Brazil nut each day. What else do I have?
The alkaline water. You're big
alkaline
on that.
Water. I've had that ever since I was diagnosed. Big shout out to the CBD oil, because that's a godsend as well.
The dogworm and stuff. Do you remember we found that article?
Yeah.
And we'll be like WhatsApping each other about dogworm and stuff. And we're like, articles about this?
I started taking that in November of last year, and then come the MRI scan, my liver got worse, and I could only think that what I started from the last scan was the dogworm and stuff.
It might have been a change. Because some people, there's so many articles if you Google that, and the people go, yeah, it's really helped. For you, it didn't. So let's really now get down to brass tacks with your appointment where your liver changed. Was when the treatment changed again, wasn't it?
Yeah, so what they did is, my last MRI scan on my actual liver was November 2019. So, obviously with the pandemic and stuff, appointments weren't as up to date as they normally would be. So, they said they needed, I had CT scans. I'd had 5 CT scans since the last MRI on my liver. Then they say that the CT scan doesn't really show the liver. An MRI is better. So I didn't understand why each time I hadn't had an MRI as well on my liver. But anyway, they said there was over 50 lesions on my liver, which was a shock for me. Because
it was 5 before that, wasn't it?
No, they said there was only 2 before
two.
That. That was October. There was 2. And one had gone and one had decreased in size. So to me, going for that MRI on my liver, I was thinking, well, it's going to be clear because there was only 1 had gone and 1 had decreased. But now there's over 50. So what they'd said is initially after the CT scan, the scan's not very good. And I was a bit like, hang on, why are you ringing me with that? If it's not good, I need another one, is how I looked at it. And I know it's not that easy, but as the MRI on my liver, so I'm sitting on my appointment on the 17th of March, and it was an early one. So, you know, when you pull in your head, you plan your day. And I was like, when I get back, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And the phone went, and I heard the girl say, yeah, she's still here, yeah, I'll send her down. So, you know, when you panic thinking, that's for me, that. I know that's for me. And she come over and she said, can you go down? But it's busy. The breast cancer nurse come out and she said, just thought it was easier to see you today because he's off next week. So it'd mean you're waiting another 2 weeks. And I said, is it good or bad? And she went, not very good. I burst out crying there and then in the waiting room because I just thought, what? And I went, what am I doing wrong? I said, because I thought I was doing everything right. I went, you know, because you do initially, you blame yourself. What have I done?
You look for a reason why, don't you? You look for some kind of explanation and there just isn't one.
So at that time, like, because obviously I had to go down there, I told John not to come and pick me up. And then she said, do you want to ring John?
Oh,
and I
was so like, it's like going back to that first appointment. You got someone with you. So you go, oh, Jesus Christ, what are you going to say?
So I rings John. He's doing his Joe Wicks exercises. So he's like, doesn't answer the phone. And then I said, just come whenever you're ready. I said, she won't call me in until you're here. So in the interim period, one of the healthcare assistants come down, Kathy, and she went, Sue, are you all right? And I went, well, and I told her. And she gave me this hug. And at that time, it was the best hug I've ever had in my life. Yeah. Because I just needed it. And she said, if John can't get here, I'll come and sit with you. She said, I'll just go and tell them I'm going to sit with Sue while she goes in, because she's on her own. She went, because you're not going in there on your own. And at that time, she was the best person I could have saw, because that hug, it just had everything in it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then they called us in, and that's when they said the liver had changed. But they said there's loads of other stuff that we can do. So I was like, okay. So it goes in. And they said, well, we have to stop that treatment now and we're going to put you on tablet form. So initially you go, oh, well, that's better.
Because in my head, before?
Yeah, in my head, it meant I wasn't having to go twice every week. And I thought, yeah, that's great. What I'm on now is called capecitabine. So it's a 3-weekly cycle. So it's 2 weeks of tablets and then a week break. Yeah. So the first one, I was just really tired. But then on the week off, I had diarrhoea from the Thursday to the Sunday.
This was a turning point for you, this, Suzanne, because it all tied in with the side effects of this new medication. Because everyone was constantly saying to you, you don't look like you've got cancer, you look great. Yeah, you lost a bit of weight. Yeah, you know, your eyelashes went for a bit at one point. But you always looked like you were still fit and well. And I personally think I saw a change in you when you started not looking well. It was almost like your head just went west.
Yeah, because it messes with your head, to be fair. I think the first cycle, I felt all right apart from the diarrhea. Then it goes on to the second cycle, and that's the one that was the killer. That's when I look sick, as we all know.
Well, you bounced back, just for anyone who's starting to panic, she has bounced back. But she did take the knock for a couple of weeks and we all shit ourselves. Let's be dead frank about this.
I went to try wedding dresses on. So we'd gone for something to eat and felt a bit dodgy in my stomach before I went, but I had tablets because I thought I don't want to be like the film Bridesmaids getting in the street. But I think because I'd spoke about that, I'd manifested it in my head. I think that's what had happened. I brought it to life that was going to happen. So I took the tablet then. So we're talking that was the 23rd of April. Then it was on and off then, right through that week. I went back to hospital on the Wednesday and I had all the side effects. But it says I had a deficiency gene test, also a gene test to check if I had this deficiency. And if I didn't have it, I wouldn't get any severe side effects.
But you got every single one.
I got every single one.
Yeah.
Also, this lovely voice I've got, because this still doesn't sound like me. At least I don't sound like a squeaky toy like I did the other week.
No, you sound loads better yet, but it's not the voice that I know and love. It's a different voice. I've got to say I'm bonding with it, though. It's quite cute.
Well, that's it. It is, I'm getting used to it now because I don't think
it.
That is a change of voice, which you wouldn't think from a tablet, which is mad.
Ladies of Liverpool,
where are we now for everyone who's wanting to know what's happening now? We've sorted the tablets out, they've changed the dose, you're not getting the side effects, you've got red hands and red feet, haven't you? That's what's going on at the minute. Are you all right talking about the most recent appointment that you had?
I'm fine.
Are we doing it? There's a big decision that they've put on the table for you. You're not the first woman to be faced with this decision. And I know family members of ladies who've made that decision or haven't made that decision are going to be listening. I know there's women now on the same journey as you listening to what you're about to say. Your most recent appointment, what did they say?
So I had a biopsy. So they reduced the tablets by 20%, which isn't a big difference, but it has made a difference to me, if you know what I mean. And I'd had an MRI as well. So it showed that there'd been a reduction in my liver. So even though I felt that sick, the tablets had been doing the job. So that was great.
Yeah.
But I said I have the biopsy in the meantime. So I went back and they said that the biopsy is related to the cancer, which I knew, obviously. But now there's talk of maybe taking out my lymph nodes or removing the primary, which is the breast. But how I'm looking at it is, why now? Which I understand, you know, because it spreads and stuff. They don't initially want to do any surgery. But the way I'm looking at it is, I'm not sick. I don't feel sick.
This is just maybe a prime example of what you were saying earlier on, that you have a say, you have a voice. You might feel like you've lost control once you get a diagnosis like this, but you do have a certain amount of control. And right now, the decision is yours. And the questions are, why now? Why not 2 years ago when you first diagnosed Suzanne with breast cancer? Did you not remove the breast? Why 2 years later? To do such a big op. It's a big decision, but it does land on your toes.
Yeah, so what they're going to discuss me again because I have my questions. So that's still, I'm just parking that. I'm not thinking about it until such time as I've got to. Now I feel a bit more positive. It is a case of sometimes pulling the positive pants up. And I know for everybody, they might think that like things sound like a cliche, but it's not. So you've got to celebrate the little wins that you have. Do you know what I mean? So my little wins at the minute are my eyebrows are back, my eyelashes are back.
Yes!
Potentially we might be able to win our holidays, and that's what we've missed. Definitely missed all that. But for people, you know, you find a diagnosis, it changes how some people treat you, and it shouldn't, because you're still the same person. You might have changed in yourself, but you're still who you was. And sometimes that can hurt more than anything, that people, because they don't know what to say, they don't say anything. That's just a bit, because you're the same person. It's just something's changed for you. It shouldn't affect how other people treat you.
It doesn't have to be about cancer, does it? Do you remember me phoning you panicking? I've just Googled what I should be saying to someone with cancer and what I shouldn't be saying. And the list, there was like five things on this list of things not to say. And I was like, I've said them all to you. I'm so sorry.
But cancer doesn't define you. Well, that's how I look at it. It doesn't define me. I'm still me. It's just, I'm living with something else. That's it. That's how I look at it. Everybody's different. Do you know what I mean? But I couldn't go through it without the support of my family and friends, which I always say, you've got to have that good support network behind you, because without that, I'd have been on the floor 10 million times. But I'm not, because everybody keeps me spirits up.
Drag you up by the scruff of your neck. But to be honest, you're brilliant at, as you say, putting your positive pants on. I've never known anyone so bloody incredible. You'll get some news and you go, right, I'm going to turn that around. And do you know what, babe? More often than not, you do.
But that's how I've got to look at it, because I've found that by not letting it consume me, it's made me get through it a lot better than if I'd have let it go, I've got cancer, or feel sorry for myself. Don't get me wrong, I feel sorry for myself. But then I go, well, you've got all this, so there's so much to look forward to. And do you know what I mean?
We've got the big Spanish wedding coming up in the summer.
We have.
Fingers crossed.
Looking more positive than it has been. So you just try not let anyone stand in my way, but obviously you do get the obstacles. Like what I say is, I can have my down days, but as long as I can get myself back up, that's the main thing. And I know everybody says, like, it's not all about the positivity, but it does really, it does help, like meditations and things like I do, Heal Your Body one, and do this sound frequency meditation for the liver, because at the minute I'm concentrating on the liver, which means no alcohol, which you've joined in with me as my sober sister for me.
I know. And it's been a struggle. There have been days, especially with it being May and bloody bank holidays and birthdays and all that. It has been a struggle, but we've done it. We've cracked it. Nearly £2,000 raised for Sunflowers, the Liverpool Cancer Charity, which is unbelievable. You mightn't have even heard of it. But if you do want to do something after listening to this podcast, if you do want to do something and you want to help, just donate some money, raise some cash for this building charity, you can find it on my Twitter or my Instagram page. So do your bit, no matter, even if it's just a quid, lash it on there. and help other people in Liverpool who are living with cancer, as Suzanne says, living with it, the unwanted guest. Suzanne, I've loved every second of speaking to you with this, and I know you're changing lives by releasing this podcast. Honestly, I love you all the world. You're just out of this world. I can't even believe what you've been through, but you're smashing it. Keep going, keep doing what you're doing.
I'm still standing. How many messages?
She's still standing. She really is still standing. She's still standing.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening.
Subscribe now
via the iTunes Store. Hear more from the Ladies of Liverpool via ladiesofliverpool.com.